Chapter 5. Freestyle.
You've had a rough couple of weeks.
Jorlon Shijo stood near Luke as they rehearsed the show opening, false sympathy on his face.
I thought the judges were completely wrong about you.
Thanks. Luke looked towards the director, wishing they'd start already. He remembered watching the holovids that Shijo had starred in years ago. They even got as far as Tatooine. Sitting with Biggs and Tank in the outdoor arena, throwing sand at each other and horsing around. War movies, a lot of them. Family dramas. All of them tinged with a strong sense of patriotism and support for the Empire. The holovids hadn't aged well. But then, neither had Shijo. He'd proven ridiculously vain since the show had started, arguing with his makeup staff before each show, insisting on more and more extensive work to try and regain his youth.
Honestly, Shijo said insincerely, I don't understand how they could say that you and Erica lacked passion in your dance last night.
Luke summoned all of his patience and gave Shijo a friendly smile. They weren't wrong. We were off our game.
By now, everyone's seen just how much passion you have. The voters especially.
There was nothing for Luke to say in response to that without being incredibly rude, so he just kept the smile on his face. Shijo wasn't done goading him.
I, for one, was caught by surprise. My understanding was that the Jedi didn't go in much for passion. But I suppose some of those old rules don't apply when you're the only one, do they?
I'm too young to remember all the stories. I'd love to sit down sometime and have you tell me what you remember. Luke might have left the wide-eyed, aw shucks farm boy behind years ago, but he could still pull that expression out. And he did, looking Shijo dead in the eye. It was so long ago, not many people remember. Luke generally kept his mental shields up when in a crowd. Things got too overwhelming and loud otherwise at times. But even through the shields, he felt a surge of anger coming from Shijo. Luke had scored a hit. Before Shijo could retort, the director called for their attention, and the rehearsal started in earnest. The show was going all out for Freestyle Week. In addition to the music and flashy costumes, the teams were going to have holographic elements to work with as well, a chance to literally change the setting for their dances. Luke knew from talking to Kobe and Devanoa that most of their partners were trying for the most outrageous exotic locales imaginable, all flash and no substance. He should have known that Erica would have other ideas.
Why not Tatooine?
She said as they sat sharing lunch during a rehearsal break. I thought we were done having me play myself, Luke said, feeling a little tug of good humor for the first time in days.
Oh, we are. Not you, of course, but we could set a story there. I can just see the holographs. The burning suns, the sand, everyone else is going for fanciful. Let's hit them with something real.
Erica was caught up in her idea, and Luke liked her best like this. Speaking of real, this felt real. More real than when she was trying to flirt or when she was performing. Just an artist focused on her craft. He could respect that.
Okay, but honestly, I don't think you could tell an interesting story about Tatooine. He joked. Nothing ever happens there.
You happened there, she pointed out. Maybe, but this isn't about me. The next day, she bounded into the rehearsal hall, waving a datapad.
I've got it. I've got our story.
Luke stopped stretching and came to see what she had.
I was reading about the history of Tatooine last night. I had no idea slavery was such an issue there.
It still is, Luke thought, a little grimly. Despite the Republic's best efforts, there were still pockets of the planet controlled by the Hutts. He thought of his father, his grandmother, and the lives they'd led. Erica went on.
There was an uprising about 25 or 30 years ago. There's not a lot of information on it, almost like it was suppressed. But that's our story. Nobody knows where the leader came from, but hundreds of slaves were freed. We can use some of the backup dancers, but you and I will lead the revolt. She paused and gave him one of her sidelong smiles. Mostly you. I don't know. It felt too real to Luke. Who'd want to watch that? Just let me show you what I have so far. Hours later, Luke was tired, aching, drenched with sweat, but convinced. There was something powerful here in this story. He felt it reverberating through him as they moved together. Even without the holographics backing them up, Luke could feel the binary suns against his face again, feel the roiling sense of injustice that he'd known growing up. But why, Aunt Beru? How do they not know it's wrong to own people? Shmi Skywalker was buried by the burnt-out remains of the Lars homestead, and Luke grew up knowing her story, and knowing, accidentally, the story of Darth Vader. What If was a game he knew better than to play, but he couldn't help but wonder what the history of the galaxy would look like if Shmi had gotten free sooner, or had never been a slave. Hey, Luke, are you okay? Erica brought him back to the here and now, with a touch on his arm. Yeah, I'm fine. You don't look fine. What is it? Is it your friends? She ushered him over to one of the seats around the edges of the room and handed him a container of water. No, it's just... Luke stopped and took a long swallow of water. This is good, what you did here. It's real. It's not something people talked about a lot back home. It's like they didn't care. He couldn't get Shmi out of his mind. He had the feeling that she would approve somehow. Thank you, Erica said quietly. My grandmother was a slave, he said, after a long pause. My father was born a slave, he didn't add, too aware of the cameras in the room. I'm so sorry, I didn't know. Erica covered his hand with hers. I don't talk about it a lot. She died free. Luke turned his hand over and squeezed Erica's hand, needing the comfort. Before I was born. We can dedicate the performance to her if you'd like, Erica said. How far had he come from that place to this? Grandson of a slave, son of a slave. Yeah. Then come on. Erica squeezed his hand and stood up. Let's get back to work and make it great for her. They rehearsed later than normal, and at some point they stopped for dinner that one of the production assistants brought in. The camera crew had gone home. They'd hit their guild-sanctioned time limit for the day, so it was just the two of them. As tired as he was, Luke hadn't been this relaxed in over a week. The two of them sat cross-legged on the rehearsal floor, across from each other, chasing mediocre Ivaru Jari noodles with decent beer. I think we should lighten your hair for this one, Erica was saying. I've seen the old holovids. Your hair used to be lighter from the sun. Luke wrinkled his nose, but he'd already learned it wasn't worth the argument. She laughed at his expression, then grew serious. Tell me more about your grandmother, she asked. I wish I could, Luke said, putting down the cardboard container of food. I only know her through my aunt's stories. What about your parents? Never knew them either. Luke gave a little shrug, keeping his attention on poking at his noodles. There was something I didn't want to tell you earlier, not in front of the cameras. Why he was telling her now, he wasn't sure, but it just felt right. What is it? It wasn't just my grandmother. My father was born a slave, too. It was so tempting to tell her everything, to tell someone the whole truth outside of Han and Leia, but he knew he couldn't. That wasn't just his story to tell anymore. Luke. Erica's voice was full of soft, horrified sympathy. You weren't Oh, no. No. But after today, I can imagine what life might have been like for them. I'm so sorry. I never would have suggested this idea if I'd known. No, it's all right. It's been good, in a way. Luke attempted to smile at her, but he was wrung out. Between barely sleeping in the enormous bed at home, rehearsals, the worry over Han and Leia, and now spending a day living in his father's shoes, it was too much. He had nothing left. Come on. Erica rose to her feet and offered him a hand up. You need to go home and get some rest. While he cleaned up the remnants of dinner, she signaled for a speeder cab. Luke wasn't thinking when they walked out of the rehearsal studio together, her arm in his. They were laughing at something Jorlon Shijo had thrown a fit over as they stepped into the Coruscant light. The lights were blinding as they were surrounded. Luke's immediate instinctive response was to shove Erica behind him while he reached for a lightsaber that wasn't there, just as he realized they weren't under attack. At least, not physically. A wall of holovid cameras faced them, reporters shouting intrusive questions about their presumed love life.
Don't say anything. Just keep moving,
Erica murmured to him. And he got them through the press, still keeping her in a protected position behind him. It was nothing but instinct. It wasn't until they'd both climbed in the cab and it was pulling away that he realized exactly how things must have looked. At the next rehearsal for the opening number, Luke found his spirits had lifted quite a bit. He was joking around with Kobe and Erica as the cameras circled the rehearsal, filming bits to use on the show. During one of the breaks, Devanoa caught Luke by the arm as he passed her.
Hey, kid, I know you're the last Jedi and all, but I gotta ask, how stupid are you?
Excuse me? Luke drew his arm back. Devanoa flashed him her datapad, showing the headline from one of the gossip channels.
What kind of dancing? Jedi and new friend seen speeding away on a secret tryst.
Luke groaned and pressed his fingers to his temples.
It wasn't like that at all. Don't you see what's happening here? The producers are setting you up. They're playing you. It's the oldest game these shows know how to run. Find some nice kid with a nice man or woman at home waiting for them, then set them up with a partner who does everything in their power to wreck it.
I'm not.
I know you're not, but your partner sure as hell is. And by now the producers have enough footage of the two of you making moon eyes at each other to make you look like a first-rate cad. You think they don't know your home life? Hell, kid, you three get full marks for trying, but anyone with eyes knows what's going on.
Luke couldn't argue with her that it was a setup. Erica had said as much, that the kiss was nothing but a publicity stunt. But he hadn't thought it through. He was so worried about how Han and Leia were reacting that he hadn't stopped to think about what might be happening to his reputation. Devanoa wasn't wrong. He hadn't realized just how bad things had gotten until that blasted encounter with TPC. His goal in agreeing to do this was to help generate good PR for the Republic, and maybe finally get word out that he was looking for students. He lost sight of that in the drive to win the competition. What good did it do if he won the contest, but everyone thought he was a rotten person? It must have shown on his face, because Devanoa squeezed his shoulder.
Don't feel too bad. You're not the first one to fall for it. Only question is now, what are you going to do about it?
It was a good question, and not one he had an answer for.
You two look terrible, Wedge greeted them as he swung down from his X-Wing.
He and the rest of Rogue Squadron had taken out the Imperial remnants in the air, allowing the ground campaign to finally nearly finish off the remaining fighters.
Thanks, Han said sourly. Glad you could make it.
Yeah, sorry about the delay. Couldn't be helped. Seriously, though, I thought Luke was the only one off. You two don't look much better.
He slipped in for a hug from each of them. Leia sighed.
We have been fighting, you know.
And Tilly's shot them a look. You two? You fought way worse than this group of Imperial scum. You're worried about Luke. Come on. That you three even try to hide it? Wedge? Leia hissed, looking around at the other rogues dismounting from ships and meeting up with the Pathfinders. Please. Everybody around since Yavin knows. Anyway, you two need to get back. Luke looks so out of it.
We saw TPZ, she sighed. Is it everywhere?
Well, they were always first before the other news shows. The producers must be thrilled. Ratings are up.
Wedge paused.
You saw TBZ. Then you know?
We saw, Han said a little grimly. What's going on there? Do you know?
I really don't, Wedge said. I haven't seen Luke in months. But listen, you know that sort of thing is part of the game, right? The show is counting on all the gossip, and all that the gossip shows are talking about is how Luke's performance has dropped since you two've been gone, and how he seems to be, well, taking comfort with his partner. But you gotta know, it's all just a story. There's nothing to it.
We know, Leia answered, squeezing Han's arm.
She believed that, because she had to. If only Han could, too. Still, let's get this done with so you two can go home.
Han and Leia threw themselves out of the speeder cab at the stage door entrance that the cast member families used. Before they could even catch their breath, Jenna, the Twi'lek live show producer, was leaning out the door, alerted by security.
Oh, you're back!
Leia shot a glance at Han.
Yes, did we make it in time?
Yes, yes, come in. The live show starts in 5 minutes. We'll get you right in.
Oh, Luke will be so happy to see you're here.
The two of them stared at the producer as she continued.
He's been all over the place without you two around.
We both wanted to be here, but we had obligations we couldn't refuse. Leia glanced at Han. He shared her concerned expression. Then they weren't wrong. Luke was as out of sync as they were.
Lachelle, send a runner back. The General and the Senator are here, she said into her earpiece.
Han and Leia traded amused grins as,
Thank the Maker,
boomed out of the earpiece. A young Corellian boy came around the corner. Leia realized it was the director's grandchild, who Luke had mentioned, working his school break. He greeted Han and Corellian, and she relaxed a fraction when Han summoned a grin and fell back into his first language, as they followed him through the maze of props, risers, and equipment cases towards the dance stage. The sound of the band and the crowd, easily as loud as the fight they had just come from. The Stanros jumped up from their seats as the band wrapped up their warm-up. A gaggle of teenage fans with sparkly signs urging on Kobe and Luke screamed as Leia and Han threaded through the crowd to their customary table. The first pictures went out over the holonet.
Look who's back!
Kobe's fans were almost as excited as Luke's. Kobe's fans had become Luke's and vice versa. Once the two had collaborated on Kobe's Holovid week dance, Kobe had given an interview singing Luke's praises. Zara Stanro pulled Leia into an embrace.
Oh, it's so good to see you. Luke's going to be so happy.
Nice to hear he missed us. Weren't sure anybody noticed, Han said, feeling as bewildered as Leia looked.
Well, the crew did. Jameson Stanro gripped Han's arm. And we did, and Kobe. Some people were happy he wasn't dancing as well.
He gave a pointed look at Shijo, standing downstage from them on their side of the floor, waiting for the opening group number.
Luke just hasn't been himself.
And the media vultures have been hovering,
Zara said sourly, leaning into them as the ambient noise increased. Leia covertly caught Han's eye and told him to shut up.
It couldn't be helped. We both had to be off-world. We just got back.
Below, just off stage, Lachelle sidled up to Luke, who was in place for the opening number.
Jenna says your friends are here.
Could they be back?
He dropped his shields a fraction against the howling of beings all around him and closed his eyes.
He could feel Leia's warmth and Han's reflected with hers. He let it wash over him a moment before the crowd began to come in with it, and he had to pull his shields back up. The general and the senator. She pointed through the ebbing dry ice fog. He was already looking happier. And then, as he followed her gesture and saw them in the dimming lights, Lachelle had seen Luke smile before, but this one was off the charts. Have I got time to go around? We're on final countdown, 2 minutes to air, so no. But you should have time to sneak over when Kelfer is setting up the first dance. You end up on that side of the floor anyway. Flynn, their director, was in her earpiece. Get him over there. We'll find a camera to get it. Word spread from earpiece to booth to earpiece around the floor, and the camera crews were all vying to be the ones that shot the reunion. Luke tried to peer through the rush of dancers hitting marks, the drifting fog, and the swooping lights to catch a glimpse of Han and Leia. But even without seeing them, he could feel the tension draining out of him. Whatever they had seen or not seen, they were back and safe, and the three of them could solve anything. Kobe looked over at him with a big grin of his own. I see them, he shouted over the band's intro as the stage shook with the roar of the crowd and the amplified voiceover of, Live from Coruscant, it's Dancing Across the Galaxy! Erica, across the floor, saw Luke's megawatt smile and then turned to the audience, scanning. The senator and general were at their usual table, and Kobe's cheering section was practically a living, screaming organism. She pasted on her smile and got ready to dance. Jakor was briefed that they would be cutting to Luke's reunion as part of the introduction, and he moved to it like the pro he was. Welcome to Dancing Across the Galaxy. I'm Kelfer Jakor, along with my lovely co-host, Wendala. Tonight is Freestyle Week, and we have some wild dancing for you tonight. And we have some good news for one of our contestants. In the control booth, Flynn was calmly instructing his switcher. Pick up three. Three, get in closer. Luke moved from the last pose of the opening dance, walking toward Han and Leia as if he'd come from battle. For a moment, Han remembered Endor, Luke in black coming from the forest depths, alive, whole, and back with them. As he did that night, Han held his breath, then smiled broadly as Luke hugged Leia first, then came to hug him. This time, there was a roar from the crowd around them as they embraced. You're okay? Luke asked against his ear. We're fine. Rios is free. Go knock him out, kid. Han gave his best grin and could feel his worry beginning to ebb as Luke looked up at him with those eyes he had fallen for so long ago. It's going to be fine. It has to be. The show was easily the most elaborate one of the season so far, fitting for the last big episode before the finale. Leia's life had never felt more surreal. Not even a day before, she and Han had been in a war zone risking their lives trying to save others. And now here they sat, in a crowd of well-dressed Coruscantes, watching a bunch of at least marginally famous people dance. The holographic settings for each of the dances gave everything an additional dreamlike air. Devanoa and her partner moved through what looked like a gas giant's atmosphere, the starkness of it for once fitting the old racer's style. Kobe's performance looked like it had been plunked straight into the heart of Endor, turning him into a capering woodland creature. It was charming, and Leia couldn't help but laugh. Leia remembered Jorlan Shijo from his days as the darling of the Empire. Like most old Imperial supporters, with the change in the wind, he'd changed directions. But she never quite believed his conversion. He had the face of a man who dearly missed seeing armies of white-armored stormtroopers overrun innocent civilians. He and Luke were nearly tied in the standings, with Kobe in a close second. All three of them had to give amazing performances. Kobe had. Now it was Shijo's turn. Shijo and his partner took the stage, each clad in immaculate white. The stage faded into a cityscape, and other dancers joined them. It was a battle of sorts, with Shijo and his partner obviously meant as the heroes, the underdogs against a mysterious force trying to take over the city, and...
That's Ryosa, Han hissed in her ear.
Leia squeezed his hand hard, trying to keep her anger off her face. Han was right. It was. She recognized some of the buildings. Although none of the HoloNet news outlets had recorded any of the unrest in Ryosa, somehow Shijo had found out and was telling the story from the perspective of the Imperial holdouts, painting them as the heroes. She half wondered, did Shijo know where they'd been? Was this some sort of message? The judges loved it. As always, they loved Shijo's precision and lauded him for finding a missing element of emotion that he'd struggled with all competition long. The final score, 2 9s and a 10 from an overwrought Brayden, the first 10 awarded in the competition.
Luke better have something to beat that Imperial bastard, Han muttered.
Luke's segment started with the usual rehearsal footage. Leia's heart constricted when she realized what the theme of the dance was. After the dance sequences, the camera cut to Luke and Erica sitting close together at the edge of the studio. Luke was visibly upset.
Luke, what is it? Are you all right?
My grandmother was a slave, Luke said, almost out of mic range of the cameras, which crept in closer.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
Luke gave a little smile, but it was a sad one.
She died free, before I was born.
The camera stayed on Erica's concerned face, while Luke said,
This isn't about me. Is it about your friends?
As they spoke, the cameras moved between their faces, catching Erica's worried eyes and Luke's downcast expression.
I don't talk about it a lot. It's like they didn't care.
I'm sorry, Erica repeated. If it helps, I care.
No, I know.
A shot of Luke covering her hand with his. This is good. It's real.
Come on, Erica stood up. Let's get back to work and make it great.
Han was bristling so hard Leia was afraid he was about to stand up and make a scene.
It's not real. You know that. Luke would never say that.
I know, but damn it, Leia!
Cameras! She hissed.
Luke and Erica were taking their places on the stage with the other dancers for their number, and the cameras were sure to focus on Han and Leia at any moment. Once the scene changed and the music started, Leia was transported. She saw a world she only knew through Luke's eyes. The heat and the sand and the misery felt real. Both Luke and Erica wore clothing that was ragged and dusty, but still tried to carry an aura of glamour. Dancers for a shadowy master on the edge of the stage. Leia recognized the transmitter in his hands and wondered how many people watching did, if they knew that one press of a button would kill a slave in an instant. Despite their worn, aged costumes, they were stunningly beautiful when they started to dance. The music delicate but driving. Luke's hair was lighter than Leia had seen it in years, if half hidden beneath a cap, and the glimpse of the boy he'd nearly been broke her heart. They spun around the stage, unabashedly romantic despite their situation, until the master stepped forward and tried to pull Erica away. For a few measures of the music, Luke was without his partner, and Leia could feel his anger, his sadness, his sense of injustice drawing the audience in. The music burst into a frenetic rhythm and took Luke with it. He rallied the other dancers on the stage and they converged on Erica and the master, stealing her back and breaking the master's transmitter. The dance wound down with Luke and Erica dancing together again, but this time on their own terms, finally free. The song ended with them in an embrace in the middle of the dance floor as the desert landscape slowly faded away around them. For several seconds after the music died, the audience was silent. Then it erupted into cheering and screams, the crowd surging to its feet as a single entity. Leia and Han with them. Leia saw tears on more than one face, and even her own eyes were singing.
Mother of moons, Han breathed,
He did it. That's it. Everyone else can go home.
It took a long time for Kelford Jacor to calm the audience enough to start the judging. As they waited it out, he hit Luke on the shoulder with a huge grin. Like the crew, Jacor and Windala had their favorites, and Luke was one of them.
That was something, Luke. Let's see what the judges have to say. Viviken?
She hadn't cried the whole season, but Viviken was sniffling and waved her judge's card to gather her thoughts. Then she gestured Luke over and hugged his neck. Luke dipped his head and Leia turned to Han, who was grinning as she was. Luke was back.
We've been waiting all season for you to show us your heart, Luke. And that was wonderful. You brought me into that world. I could feel it. You told me a story. Your dancing was so pure.
She waved them on when she lost her composure.
Alan?
The Mon Calamari was smiling as much as he could.
That, my lad, was what I've been waiting for from you. You told your story, but you didn't let it affect your form or focus. Every move was spot on, but not wasted. That was a dance and a story. Yes, that was the best we've seen from you.
Brayden? Brayden was as choked up as Viviken, but as always, he was in full hyper mode, halfway across the judges' table.
Luke, my boy, that was real. I was in that desert with you, freeing your lady love, fighting the master, fighting for freedom. We saw your heart tonight, my darling. Excellent.
Jacor gestured them up the stairs to Windala, who was as emotional as she started her interview.
That was amazing.
Thank you, Luke smiled, looking more relaxed than he had in weeks. You have to give all the credit to Erica. She got the story out of me, got me to dance like that. Erica tilted her head modestly.
I couldn't have done that without Luke. He always brings his heart to everything he does.
From below them, the judges' scores echoed, tens across the board. As the dancers all assembled on the floor for the ending of the show, Luke was looking past Erica to Han and Leia. Flynn, in the booth, missed nothing, yelling at his crews to get the shot across the line of the teams so that it was obvious who Luke was smiling at as the show wrapped up. They finally made it to the safety of their apartment after wading through post-show interviews. Luke made a distinct point of pulling Han and Leia in his wake as he and Erica talked to the usual scrum of entertainment news crews waiting outside the studio. The HoloNet-only aftershow played the reunion and the dance, while the live audience of mainly Kobe and Luke fans roared their approval. The door locked behind them. The three of them ended up in the kitchen. Another night, they might have braved a restaurant, but their emotions were rubbed raw, and the rush of news operations and paparazzi around the studio convinced them escape was the best option. Besides, 2 weeks of separation had taken its toll. Luke was glad he had gotten enough takeout over the last few days that the table was covered with boxes of their favorites, among the bottles of beer. They were all famished, so talking was merely grunting around wolfing down takeout from half a dozen cuisines. Luke asked about the battle, and Han and Leia gave him an abbreviated version, omitting their nightmares and worry. And here I was, on this crazy show.
But you were so fantastic tonight, and I could feel everything.
Leia took a long swallow of beer.
Han slapped Luke's arm. You were great, kid. I mean, I've seen you fight, but that was amazing. Damn shame about Devanoa, though. She didn't deserve to go home.
I have a good teacher.
Luke ducked his head, worrying at the edge of his takeout box. Leia looked at Han. She could read him urging her to start. She sighed, but knew it had to be her, at least at the beginning. She was calmer. She could read Luke's turmoil, but knew she could soothe him, or at least she hoped.
Luke.
He looked up with those guileless blue eyes.
What is it?
She caught the undercurrent of fear and guilt that he was trying to choke down.
Luke, if you...
There was nothing to be done but say it flat out.
Luke, Han and I, we've never actually sat down and talked about us. Luke looked close to panic, and she met Han's worried eyes.
What do you mean, us?
Luke's voice was barely above a whisper.
I mean, by the Maker, there was no easy way to say this. If you ever got tired of hiding, or if you ever wanted to have children of your own, we'd understand if you wanted.
Luke stared at her in horror. No, wait, what? You can't think that Pudu on TPZ was real.
No, but I've seen how she looks at you.
There's nothing between us.
Kid, I think we need to draw you a diagram for when someone's flirting with you, Han said.
Luke rolled his eyes. There's nothing between us, he repeated. I didn't know she was going to kiss me. I know I should have said something when the news started, but she made it sound harmless and that it would make it easier for us to win, and I went along with it when I knew I shouldn't have.
Han caught Leia's stricken expression and waded in. Luke, listen. We love you. Always will, I think. I know. Aw, hell. We've been through so much. Then that song you picked for the dance last week?
Luke looked from one to the other.
I swear to the Force, I wish I'd never...
He stopped and took a breath. I picked that song because I'll always remember that night on Yavin. Always remember the three of us lying there talking. I poured out my heart to you two, and you didn't care that I was some farm boy from nowhere, grandson of a slave, not rich or powerful. You barely knew me. I barely knew you, and it was like we'd been together forever.
Han dropped his head, looked up at Luke halfway.
That song is about remembering, saying goodbye.
That song is about me remembering who believed in me when no one else did. It's where we started.
He looked from one to the other.
I would never do that to you. Never!
He caught his breath at the sorrow in Han's eyes, felt the wave of pain from Leia. He slid from his chair and came around the table, kneeling between them, reaching for them.
You think I would... Oh, no. Oh, I'm so sorry. I never...
He closed his eyes for a long moment.
Luke, if you want to be...
Stop. Don't even say that. You think I would leave you? And worse, tell you like that?
He shook his head.
Do you know that bed is enormous without the three of us in it? The very first night you were gone, I had that nightmare again.
All three of us in the Emperor's throne room?
Leia reached to lay her head along his cheek, stroking back the freshly blonde hair as Luke nodded against her hand.
You think I would leave the two of you, who know my whole heart, for...
He marshaled the Force and dropped his shields, knowing Leia could feel everything, hoping that Han could as well. As he did, he picked up the backwash from Leia.
You had the Death Star dream again.
She smiled sadly.
I wait for a short stormtrooper and a flyboy who never come.
Luke turned to Han.
Carbon freeze?
Han tightened his fingers around Luke's.
Worse. I sit in that cantina waiting, watching you walk out the door without me. Never have both of you in my life.
Luke sighed, met Leia's dark eyes, then Han's hazel.
Do you know why I have that dream of us before the Emperor? You were my soul when I stood there before him. I could stand there, not just because I was a Jedi, but because you two believed I could. Even if you didn't know, you were with me.
He shook his head.
I love you both. No one will ever come between us.
His words had the seriousness of a vow, his blue eyes as solemn as Leia had seen them.
Do you understand me?
Leia was the one who unfroze first and dropped out of her chair to kneel in front of him, pulling Luke into her arms. What began with sweetness, with comfort, quickly flared as Leia nuzzled along Luke's cheek until she could kiss him. All the time apart, all the worry, all the fear, it erupted into a kiss that had her grabbing his head, her fingers curling around his skull to keep him close. They parted, breathless, staring at each other wide-eyed until Han caught them each by the elbow and pulled them to their feet.
I'm not doing this on the kitchen floor, he laughed. Not when there's an enormous bed just in the other room.
He slung his arms around their necks and steered them to the bedroom. It had been a long time since the three of them had been caught up in such a mood of fumbling urgency, trying to steal kisses from each other and get undressed at the same time. When Luke's comm link went off, they almost ignored it. But then Leia's did, and then Luke's did again, and a third time. With an annoyed groan, he grabbed it. Yes? Luke, she's just on the holonet right now. You have to go see. It was Kobe, and he sounded agitated. Kobe, this really isn't a good... Right now, my mom just tried to call the senator, but she wasn't answering. It's bad, Luke. It's really bad.
All right, I will.
It didn't take long to find what Kobe meant. Luke sat on the edge of the bed between Leia and Han, finding one of the late-night talk shows that specialized in covering shows like dance. Jorlon Shicho sat in the guest seat, in all his smug glory, while the host recapped the show. And of course, the host was saying, we have to talk about all the drama surrounding tonight's episode. Your biggest competition, Luke Skywalker, had a big night. First with his cheering section returning after a mysterious absence, then blowing the judges away and earning a perfect score. Ah, yes, his cheering section, Shijo sneered. Well, he doesn't think much of them, does he, given what he said about them tonight in his interview? That was quite a moment. Let's take a look at it. Is it about your friends? I don't talk about it a lot. It's like they didn't care. I'm sorry. If it helps, I care. No, I know. This is good. It's real. Not much ambiguity there, is there? The host was saying, and Luke suddenly couldn't see straight. I never said that! No wonder Han and Leia had been so tense. He turned to them. You have to believe me. We were talking about slavery, and I said some of the people of Tatooine... Han and Leia both started as Luke slammed his artificial hand against his leg. Those bastards! They edited it so that... No, never. I never said that. Leia caught his hand. Shh, we know. They did the same thing to us. Regardless of the drama in his personal life, the host said, he's been doing very well. How are you feeling about going up against him in the finale? Or do you think that fan-favorite Kobe Stanrow is more competition for you? Honestly, I'm not surprised that Skywalker has come this far, given all the special abilities he has. The host, smelling blood in the water, leaned forward. Are you saying that Luke Skywalker has been cheating, using the Force somehow to win? Shijo primly folded his hands in his lap. I'm just saying that I wish I had his ability to influence people's minds. Luke fell back on the bed, covering his face with his hands, unable to believe what he was hearing. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Is it possible that the Last Jedi Knight is cheating, using an unfair advantage to win? Let's hope the producers of Dancing Across the Galaxy are running a clean show. Call the producers, Leia said, right now. When word of this gets out, it's going to be a nightmare.